fantastic companions come together to talk all things Doctor Who and the Whoniverse and Whosanity and whatever else that they call it now. I am at Dolly Domofsky. There, I'm Dolly Domofsky. To my left, your right, is the one, the only Marcus Beer.
Yeah.
And he's staying off camera for now, but we have a replacement. So there you go. The one, the only, Sean Norton.
Never looked so good.
That's true. I never will again. Hello. Hey, Dolly, I'm Sean. Impressed. You did the whole intro and you sound great.
I'm just chugging down the Dayquil. It is that time of year right now where I've got a nasty sinus infection. Sean's got a flu. Marcus is got an awesome shirt. Marcus is
I'm the only healthy one here. And that's saying something. That is absolutely saying something. I mean, I am so glad that we're actually, you know, we can stream video and not be anywhere near each other because you Typhoid Marys need to stay at home.
Basically. Well, first of all, it's fantastic to chat with you wonderful gentlemen again. It's been ages. We haven't had any Doctor Who really to talk about. I think the last time we spoke, they had just announced shooting. Yeah, and it was the Doctor Strange episode was the last time we spoke. So that was back in like what, March or something? I don't even remember anymore. But here we are, and we're gonna have a good time. We're gonna talk about the power of the Doctor and all of the insanity that ensued that episode, and that it has actually ensued since. And a part of it is because of this wonderful head of hair right here, David Tennant, that we'll get.
Oh, I thought you were talking about my wonderful
hair. Yeah, you actually have the best head of hair. It looks sharp. It's sharp. I cut mine short. I don't want to be on camera with my short hair. That's why I'm wearing a hat this time. But Power of the Doctor, for those that don't know, and we're also going to get into some cool pictures that Marcus has. Power of the Doctor, for those that don't know, was the finale of the Jodie Whittaker era, finale of the Chris Chibnall era. It was essentially the finale of finales, right? This is it. We're done with Chibi. We're back with I'll put this picture.
The Chibiverse is over, and now it's back to the Russellverse.
Now we're back to the I keep flipping back and forth. I like that better. I like seeing Sean.
I think this is good. You should leave this.
This is good.
John's wife does that one as well.
It was a heck of an episode. It was a heck of an episode because it starred the Doctor, but there was actually doctors plural in this, more than two, in a weird way, there was all kinds of craziness in this episode. A lot of callbacks, but let's just dive right into it. I want to get your thoughts. I'm going to start with you, Marcus. Like
seven doctors.
Seven? Was there seven doctors? Are you seven counting? Go ahead.
Jodie.
Okay.
The alternate timeline future doctor from
Joe.
Joe, that's right. Joe. Martin. Then there was Colin Baker, Peter Davidson, Sylvester McCoy, Paul McGann. And then regeneration doctor.
There was also forced regeneration doctor.
Ah, no, that doesn't count. That's too doctor. That does not freaking count. Let's not even go there. Let's not spoil a good thing, shall we? Because I have a certain well of goodwill that if you keep on going back to perhaps that particular thing. Mm-hmm. That well might run dry pretty quickly.
What do you think? First of all, what did you think? Overall, just your initial.
I'm still in kind of shock.
Okay.
Because it was actually, on the whole, quite an enjoyable episode.
Okay.
One that actually might be worth a rewatch, which is a full on rarity for something from the Chibnall era. I thought, you know, Jodie Whittaker, as always, did the best she could with some bits and bobs, but on the whole, I thought she was fantastic. I thought Mostly the plot was kind of coherent, which was, again, quite impressive for a Chibnall thing. They had all the right callbacks, and obviously the callbacks in particular are part of the 100-year anniversary of the BBC, because it's the BBC's centenary this year. That's true. And indeed, the last couple of months, they've been celebrating it in a lot of different ways. And so this was Doctor Who's entry, because it's been such a huge part for 59 years. So, yes, I mean, some might say that there's a lot of fan wankery in there. Mm-hmm. I will agree, but I think a lot of it worked. I was pleasantly surprised. Obviously, you know, you go into a Chris Chibnall episode expecting the worst, and especially after the ones we've seen, you know, Flux and the Fishfinger episode that we saw. This stuff was actually being repeated again on BBC America, so I had it on here in my, you know, my little games room, and I had it on the background while I was building up to the finale. And it doesn't get any better with rewatching. Flux is still a gaudy 1970s Christmas tree ornament or two.
A doily on a Christmas tree is what Flux was.
It's just that shiny, sparkly guy. I mean, it just looks like the gaudiest of gaudy Christmas baubles. You know, the Doctor is a weeping angel. The timeless child garbage. Mm-hmm. The Master mugging it up every single time.
I don't think the Flux was ever actually solved or reverted, was it? Like, it was there, where it's still, the universe is still shrinking. I don't know. I don't remember anymore.
Nobody knows. Yeah, apparently it's been put in a corner. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, this obviously is what the Flux and everything else has been building up to.
What the Flux?
Yeah, what the Flux. But I mean, that entire run, the Timeless Child, Flux, with all this was building up to this one particular episode, the culmination of Jodie's tenure. And, you know, we had lots of cool guest stars beyond the actual Doctors. I loved the Companions Anonymous meeting at the end of it. I thought that was great. And then, you know, that one smacks, to be honest with you, of Russell T. Davies, because he has come into it and he said he wants to reinvigorate the Doctor Who universe and give us back what we had a decade ago, where we had Torchwood and we had Sarah Jane Adventures. Mm-hmm. You know, and that basically under him, there was this, the Doctor Who Whoverse, and it got pushed to one side due to, you know, the main show not being good enough to carry anything. So the idea of potentially seeing some of these actors come through, like Tegan and Ace, mm-hmm. and Graham, and Dan and Yaz, all come through in this and have this meeting where they get together. I thought that was a wonderful touch. Ian Chesterton was in there. 97 years old, that chap. 97.
Wow.
And he had a line, and it was great. And Bonnie Langford was in it. And Bonnie Langford was a child star in the 70s in the UK. And she was, I think, one of Sylvester McCoy's companions. And it's nice to see her. And Joe Grant was in there. And so we saw, you know, we saw a lot of the impact that the Doctor has had on lives. I thought the strands that they had to wind together with regards to the Daleks and the Cybermen and the Master were woven pretty well by the end of it. Yeah, so I, like I said, I was, and then obviously, you know, Yaz says goodbye, the Doctor tootles off, and we get that regeneration. Also, I will say, I was disappointed to see Dan written out so early.
I noticed that too. They really did.
I think, you know, perhaps it was just to give, you know, they felt, oh, there's enough companions. Let Yaz and the Doctor have their, you know, have their.
But it was the way it was kind of written, you know. It's
yeah.
I was hanging off a, I was, you know, I was floating above a train in space. So I think that's it for me. It's like, dude, you were trapped as the universe was collapsing around you. Floating off a train is where you draw the line.
Well, I mean, he got shot in the yeah, face and the thing, the visor. So as soon as I saw him holding that helmet with the hole in it, it's like, all right, he's off.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to see him there a little bit longer, because I think Dan has been one of the high points of the Chibnall.
They did sort of bring the Anonymous, you know, when the Companions Anonymous thing at the end, they brought him back in for that. But yeah,
I know, but it was kind of minimal. But at the end of the day, there were highs,
mm-hmm.
there were lows. Ra ra Rasputin.
You know what? I love that song, but I thought, why is this I mean, I know why, but at the same time, I thought, oh, that's a really weird.
I mean, there was actually a shot of a Cyberman looking forward, and a Dalek next to it, and the Dalek's eye stalk.
They looked at each other. All of us did that too.
Yeah, could have done without that. The force regeneration thing. I like the idea of a force regeneration, but regenerating into the master. Bobbins. Yeah. And it's just Chibnall messing with stuff. Could have done without that. But yeah, on the whole, I was very pleasantly surprised. And you know, I had a little bit of a twinge of sadness seeing the end of Jodie's reign.
Sure.
Again, I would love to have seen her with some Russell T. Davis or even some Moffat scripts. I think she's been so underserved, as have, you know, a lot of all of the cast. And it started off relatively well. We had some the Rosa Parks episode in particular is the one that still stands out to me. But it's definitely a what if.
Yeah.
With her, and I'm hoping that I'm around for the 70th, when she obviously will be coming back in 2033 for her one. And, you know, in 2093, when, you know, the ghost of Christopher Eccleston will finally deign.
The ghost of Christopher.
Or the hologram of.
Yeah, there you go. It'll be another hologram. Yeah,
it'll be a deep fake. But yeah, that's my thought.
Sean, what did you think?
I think it's interesting that it's such a it's how do I describe it? It's kind of like we want to go out for a steak dinner, but we know that the steakhouse is closed. It's been closed for years with Chibnall. So you hope that
it's under renovation.
Yeah,
new ownership. I think it's been closed because it got an F grade.
New ownership is coming in, right?
Yeah, there you go. New ownership,
but. So you go to Taco Bell or you go to a cantina or whatever, and you just really hope that it's good comfort food. And 9 times out of 10, it has not been good comfort food. This episode was a mishmash train wreck of fun, really.
Like
Marcus, Marcus was saying, some things came together, some things made no sense, some things were, most of it was off the wall batty. But it didn't matter because, like, it was just constant influx of nostalgia and comfort and callbacks and returning characters. And Ian, who, to Mark's point, 97, and has tried to come back, from what I read, tried to come back to the show 2 other times and it didn't work out. And he's sitting there and the companions and all the doctors who didn't get their turn in the 50th, right?
Yeah.
And
which is so cool. Yeah.
And the master's performance, even though none of this plot stuff has made sense. And the Cybermen and the Daleks, who, when you stop and think about it, really are window dressing and didn't really have to be there. But they were, and they did, and it all mashed up in this cotton candy meets popcorn meets, ice cream dessert of, well, he's gone, and on his way out, he's not touching any of the stuff that he messed with for the last 2 years, 3 years. He's not doing timeless child stuff. He's not doing any of that. It's his swan song, and it was fine. It was fun. It was easily the best episode I've seen of this run, because it was manic. It was manic from start to stop. And she even said at one point, she's like, I got a lot going on here, Kate. Like, can I call you back? And it was just boom, one thing, boom, another thing, boom, yet another thing. And what was that guy's name? Vinder, the pilot who came out Vinder, through a wormhole for some reason. He was clearly just there because he had been in the Flux episode.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's fine. It was fine. It was fun. It was turn your brain off and have one last romp and enjoy an actually really touching regeneration scene.
Yeah.
As long as you don't think about how she just yeeted Yaz out of the TARDIS. Because Yaz's like, well, wait a minute. I love you. You might love me. You're still going to be here, right? Do I have to? No, you should just go now. But why should just I? Go. Can't we just? No, goodbye. Fresh start. See ya. Oh, okay. So, yeah. It's all outweighed by the companions left behind support group and the holograms and the regeneration into Tennant and all of this stuff. And so we shed a little tear because Jodie deserved much better. And goodbye, Chips, and good riddance forever, because I will never for the rest of my life put Flux back on my TV again. Mm-mm.
I think this is one of those occasions where I share a ton of what you guys are. I share a ton in common with what you guys are feeling. I hope this is, it seems like it. I enjoyed this. This was a popcorn episode, right? It wasn't the best written episode. It wasn't, it's not the kind that's going to leave me emotional or leave me thinking. It's not especially well written. It's not, the action wasn't great, but it was good popcorn viewing. If it's on TV, this is one of those rare recent Doctor Who episodes that if it's on TV again, I'll sit and watch it. You know, it's whether it's on the background or if I actually just want to kind of feel like watching The Power of the Doctor again. I don't think I've done that even too many times in Capaldi's era. But what I really kind of felt with this episode was that it was for one of the rare occasions in the Chibnall era, it really felt like a sort of complete story. Yeah, there were a lot of little threads in there, but it really felt like like everything was purposeful within. The majority of the themes were purposeful within the story, which was the Doctor is going through regeneration, or it's going to end up in regeneration. The Master is there, and the Master is there to force a regeneration and steal the power of the Doctor. But who's going to come rescue? What is the actual power of the Doctor? It's not just the Doctor herself in this case. The power of the Doctor is all these people that the Doctor has touched. And we saw that with Tennant's kind of finale and regeneration. And we saw that with a few other things here and there, where it's the companions come together. What was great with this one is that it wasn't just the companions of the, of the series, of 2005 to 2007. It wasn't the companions of just Matt Smith. It was notable and important companions from several different Doctor eras. And I thought that was a really great way to, fan service, of course. But it works in this case. I mean, obviously Ace and Tegan and all those others, you could have done things a little bit differently, a little bit better, plot wise and included them differently with Dan, with other stuff, but it was okay. I think a lot of the characters knew what the limits were, knew that, the story had a time limit, which was actually, this was a pretty long episode. It was about an hour and 40 minutes, hour, 30 minutes, something like that on TV.
Yeah.
But
2 hours on the godforsaken BBC America.
2 hours on exactly.
With the commercials.
Oh my God,
we'll talk about that later. I really felt, like I said, that this is one of those episodes that really had its ducks in a row in terms of where it was, why things were happening the way they were happening, where it was going, even though there was some bonker stuff, even though there were lows, even though there were highs. I think in general, overall, it worked. And I saw a lot of folks writing, it was a complete mess. What a mess. And I thought it was meant to be a mess for a very specific reason. Again, the power of the Doctor isn't just the ability to regenerate. The power of the Doctor is all the folks. And there were a few times, more than a few times, that I remember in this episode, but not coming to my mind right now, where they definitely reference that the Doctor is, whether it's through interactions with people or whatever, it's all about the folks that she's she's with and not necessarily her actions. Yeah.
The fam, as they call it.
It's the fam, the fam. But even to the point where they said, was it Ace or Tegan? I can't remember, said, I want to go into the TARDIS. I haven't been in the TARDIS. I mean, I thought that was a great little...
That was Tegan. Yeah, Tegan. She was determined to get into the TARDIS.
Determined. And I thought those are great moments, great character moments. And then the great regeneration you guys mentioned at the sunset, a fitting regeneration for the character, because it was about her knowing that the invite, right? There was the invite. I think I believe this doctor probably sent out the invite. Who knows? It's. Oh, look at that! I see some cool motion happening there. Nice. I hear that. Oh, nice. I think it was a very fitting regeneration of. She just wants to see one more sunset because she did her job. She not only saved humanity again, blah blah blah, but she brought these people together in ways that. That hadn't been done before. And I thought that was great. And great touching. I really enjoyed it. I'll be watching it again a couple more times, potentially in the next several months, because we got a ways to wait. But overall, yeah.
I don't know if we've got that much of a ways to wait. I really don't know.
They said all the episodes are November.
I mean,
that's the 60th, yeah, because they said November 2023 or maybe. Let's hope. But one of the higher rated episodes, higher viewed episode, definitely higher viewed than the last few specials in Doctor, because Doctor Who had been going downhill over the last few seasons. So this seemed to be a good uptick, and I think with that reveal at the end of Sean, this guy right there, Sean. You guys see Sean? Sean appeared in the episode. Obviously, no spoiler there.
Hello.
I think that was definitely going to drive people to rewatch it on digital services. We'll talk about that in a minute too. But yeah, I think good. Thank you for trying, Chibnall, with this last episode. We're not thanking you for anything you did before then, but this last episode, you had a good landing on your.
So it really is a reminder. Sorry, just really quick. It's such a reminder that it's easy to forget that he's a super Who nerd. Like, he's a super Doctor Who nerd. I just wish he had an editor or a co-writer or a co-showrunner who could have reeled him in.
Yeah.
Because his reverence is there for old Who. His reverence is there for Who in general. But his ideas about the Flux and the Timeless Child and, like, his writing and being on the nose and all this stuff he did, like, it really, really undercut that. Like, he just had no filter, no editor, nobody to reel him back in, and it sucks.
He needed somebody to tell him no.
Right. Yeah. We've talked about this all the time, and it's just a bummer, because once again, there's these signs of this super fan in there who I really think probably thought he was doing his best with the material, but just did not land 9 times out of 10.
Sure. So. Yeah.
All right. So, conspiracy theory time.
Yes.
First up, I will say that I don't think it's any coincidence that this episode of Doctor Who under Chris Chibnall, there's no coincidence that it was probably the best one he's done when we know that Russell T. Davis was already taking over.
Yes.
And I will say, I mean, we obviously know that Russell T. Davis filmed, the tradition is that, you know, the outgoing showrunner films the first half of the regeneration, and the new showrunner comes in. But I think that when this one was planned, they'd already announced that RTD was coming in. Mm-hmm. And I think the BBC turned around and said, look, we're not going to credit RTD with anything to do with this, but you've driven the franchise into the ground. The viewership is at the lowest of its new run. And so I think there was some Russell T. Davis touches in there beyond that regeneration.
Yeah.
And if not, I'll give Chibnall a certain amount of credit, but I will also say then that it's really frustrating that we had so many episodes that were just tosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he had this one in him. So that's why I think there's some coincidency conspiracy stuff going on there. I will say, geez, how do they keep that regen quiet? I mean, you know, I'm like, first of all, you know, I'm sitting there watching. Shauna, my wife, is sitting next to me. And the regen starts. I'm like, hang on. Since when do the clothes regen with the doctor? Because that was the first thing I noticed. I'm like, okay. Hang on, his hands are white.
Wait a minute.
What? Literally, I mean, I was saying, what?
Alongside David.
Yeah, I mean, I know these teeth. Great line, by the way.
Oh, great line.
Call that out to me when we're having a chat after the thing on Sunday night. But the fact that they kept that one quiet, we knew he was back, but we didn't think he was back.
We didn't know it was.
It actually works as a really great marketing sleight of hand.
It does.
Not only does his announcement for the special boost interest, people stop looking because they know who the next doctor is. They know Tennant's in the special, so nobody has to try to dig for this special scene because people just assume it's going to be one or the other. So it's actually, the new guy whose name escapes me. So it's actually a nice two for one. Yes, it's a nice two for one because we all assumed one thing, and then holy shit, here comes 14 back as, or 10 as 14, confirmed as 14.
As 14,
it's just phenomenal.
And I mean, I suppose the ironic thing is that we are praising Russell T. Davis for going and messing with something that hasn't been done before, where a doctor comes back as as a previous incarnation. Whereas had Chibnall tried that, we'd probably crucify him.
No, this was hinted at right back in the 50th anniversary when Matt Smith was with the curator, and he says you're gonna eventually even get faces that you remember,
Who knows?
And part of that was
Peter Capaldi for his regeneration based on the Pompeii episode.
Yeah, exactly. So there's all kinds of links, which I think was great. Sorry, go ahead, John.
No, I just said, who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? Doctor Who knows?
So I did see, we didn't get Tom Baker in this one. But we, the BBC did share a picture of him signing some albums, some Doctor Who albums. And he's looking so frail. I mean, it was, I think the who knows is probably all we're going to get at Tom Baker, unfortunately. And obviously we wish him well. But I think what this has done is, I turned to my wife and I said, so are you going to watch Doctor Who now? And the response was, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm in. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. So
it's her favorite Doctor. It's my mum's favorite Doctor. My mum has watched every episode of Doctor Who. I mean, I've told you, 1973, 74 was the first time I remember watching at the end of the John Pertwee era with her, and she got me into it. And the fact that she didn't even watch Power of the Doctor. She didn't watch any of Jodie's run. I mean, she's a little more along the lines. I mean, bearing in mind, she's a woman in her 70s, bless her. She said to me, Doctor Who should always be a man. And that's like, okay, like I said, I've never had a problem with it being Jodie. I just had a problem with the script. But I think this has been superb marketing, and it gives Chuti Ngakoue such a run in. I mean, it's the
Chuti was on
Kelly and American Idol guy.
Yes, they on yesterday talking Seacrest? About or Seacrest, whatever, Ryan, yeah, Kelly and Ryan, Ryan thank Seacrest. You. Talking about everything that's going to be taking place. And so he was really excited this morning. He's talking about this morning. Yeah. Talking about the show and revealing the logo. I think they revealed the logo there, and they revealed the big news, which is that Doctor Who is going to Disney Plus starting in 2023. All the new episodes going forward, anniversary stuff going forward. That is going to... All right, first of all, I need to toot my horn, because on an episode of this very show years ago, I said, and it may have been one of the earlier Chibnall runs, I can't remember, I said, the only thing that will save, because we had talked about how just downhill had already gone with Chris Chibnall. I said, maybe the BBC needs to get rid of, it needs to give up Doctor Who. Maybe the BBC needs to let Doctor Who go to someone like Disney or something to help it out. And The guy to my left, this guy I'm pointing to him right there, said, never. That will ruin Doctor.
No. All right. No, no, no. What you said is that the BBC needs to let go of Doctor Who and it needs to go to something like Disney. The difference is that this is a distribution deal globally outside of the UK and Ireland to carry the Doctor Who new episodes from next year.
So I get a half a point.
No credit whatsoever. No, at the end of the day, it's just a licensing deal. But no, I mean, as we discussed in the preamble, the preamble is it now makes Doctor Who. If you want to watch all the Doctor Who's, it's now even more of a mess because you have. If you live in the US, you have to have BritBox for the classic episodes. Mm-hmm. Then you have to have HBO Max because apparently all those episodes are staying on HBO Max because. Mm-hmm. In typical BBC fashion, they couldn't organize a piss up in a brewery. And you know, they've left things just so ambivalent.
I am sure that
all the Torchwood stuff is actually off Stars now and it's on HBO Max. But again, it's one of those things, Showtime, sorry, not Stars. Was it Showtime?
It was Showtime. You're right. Sorry.
Yeah, that miracle date crap. But what I will say is that I'm sure at some point, especially given the way HBO Max is currently being run into the ground, that as soon as those rights are up for discussion, they'll say, oh, we don't want that anymore. And then it will come onto Disney Plus. So then you'd be back down to two. But I will say that logo.
That logo is that's the classic. Classic logo.
Let me share the
I'm gonna share this logo right now for those that maybe didn't see it. It is the classic classic Doctor Who, beautiful Doctor Who logo, so cool. And it's modernized, it's taken that old the old logo, modernizing. Oh, sorry, Sean, you're blocking
giant, my giant handsome face is
right, out of the way. there you go. But no, it's a great logo. They definitely took the old stuff, and now they've completely rebranded the website for Doctor Who as well going forward. But the Disney Plus thing is going to be massive for Doctor Who because now you have all your Marvel shows, right? You have all your Star Wars, and now you're gonna have the oldest sci-fi series, the oldest sci-fi television series on the fastest growing streaming platform in the world, alongside all those. It's going to be the thing that I really feel like it could push Doctor Who to incredible levels in the US because Sean is one of many of my friends and family who can't watch Doctor Who because maybe they don't have BBC America, right?
Right.
Not everything carries it. And then they have to either have an AMC Plus membership. I know we've talked about that before. Buy it from Amazon Prime. It's very much a mess to watch Doctor Who. Everybody I know has Disney Plus because it's such a great ripping deal. It's going to end up with I feel like opening up Doctor Who to a whole new audience and getting, you know, really reinvigorating to levels we probably haven't seen in the US before and internationally.
I think, to be honest with you, Disney Plus is going to need exclusive content really bump it up. I think what's going to have to happen here, because in the UK and the rest of the world, Hulu doesn't exist outside of the US.
Yeah.
And all the Hulu content appears on Disney Plus, including the R-rated stuff, which is fantastic. And as somebody who is paying for the bundle, which is Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu, I'd be happy to see Hulu go bye-bye, especially since they just lost a bunch of other stuff. They are going to have to figure out some way to strengthen up that portfolio because people are going to come in and this is perhaps a reboot of New Who, and David Tennant's going to come in and we're going to see a whole lot of new stuff. Donna Noble, who is hands down in
Wilf.
Wilf has passed,
but he's in the episode.
Bernard Cribbins.
He's in that episode. Is that very, he recorded the episode. Yep.
Well, that's going to be really quite heartbreaking then, after losing Bernard Cribbins. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be like a tour de force. And I liken it to, you know, if you're a new sitcom star, and you've got a new sitcom starting on NBC, and your lead in is Friends, Seinfeld, Frasier, and The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah,
that's what it is. That's what David Tennant is. He's the lead in to Chuti Ngakoue, who's basically got a free pass.
Yeah.
And I think this is, for the first time in 4 or 5 years, this is a great time to be a Doctor Who
fan. It really is. I'm excited. Sean.
Yes, sir.
The Disney Plus thing. I mean, what's your thoughts on this whole thing? Timing of it, David Tennant, giant anniversary.
You know, it's funny. I wish I had read it on Sunday when I was all excited about the episode, because I read it during the workday and I saw the logo during the workday and I didn't have a chance to really process it. It was like, oh, cool. But now, and then the day went on and work stayed busy and whatever. So I think you nailed it. I'm sitting here reflecting on how, I've cut the cable cord for a while now. I used to do Hulu Plus, but it wasn't worth it based on what we were using it for.
Sure.
So I had no way to watch that episode, and I was refreshing Amazon Prime because I was like, I'll buy it for $2 and I'll have it forever. And then I read that it wasn't going to go up until Monday or today or whatever. I didn't want to wait. And quite literally, the only way to watch it, even if I had borrowed a friend's cable subscription or whatever, like the BBC America app wasn't updating that in real time. They weren't streaming that in real time. The only way to watch it was to buy an AMC Plus subscription, which unlocked live AMC and BBC ATV on Amazon. That was it. So I paid $9 for one time, and now I have AMC Plus for a month. Yay. But I paid $9 to watch Doctor Who, and that's fine. But like, it's so... it's just
no.
So
you have to go and watch Flux again to get your value for money.
No, then they'd have to pay me. It's so asinine, and it's so, it just is the opposite of what trying to watch content in 2022 should be. And it reminds me of when I go to, like, it's horror Halloween time in America, and so my wife and I try to go back and watch some horror movies every year. We have a list of stuff we've seen, stuff we haven't. Oh, let's go rent that. Oh, the movie's unavailable. You can only buy it. Why can't I rent it? Wow, this service doesn't have it. That service doesn't have it. And, like, that's some older stuff. This is a television show that premiered Sunday night in America 6 hours after it had premiered across the pond. Mm-hmm. And I could not find it anywhere unless I subscribed to a random app. So I think, selfishly, I would have taken anything. I would have taken Disney. I would have taken HBO. I would have taken Netflix. But to your point, in terms of market saturation, in terms of brand value, in terms of reaching new eyeballs, it really was either Disney or Netflix. And I think Disney is riding this rocket to the moon right now in terms of the demographic this will appeal to. You've got kids. You've got old school Whovians like us. You've got geeks who are into sci-fi and fantasy, all of them converging on this one app that is just continuing to grow and grow and grow and grow.
I look at our viewing habits at home, right? My daughter will watch certain shows on Netflix, certain shows on TV, certain shows on YouTube, and certain shows on Apple, on Disney Plus. As a family, we will always scroll through Disney Plus. That's like our first thing to scroll through, and we'll see what's the latest Pixar movie, what's the latest Marvel movie, what's the latest Disney Plus, Disney series. For kids, which, remember, Doctor Who was a kids show for the longest time, seeing Doctor Who next to Toy Story 5 or WALL-E 2 or something, whatever the big Pixar movie is, in the future, that's going to do a lot for Doctor Who, for a new audience. And David Tennant is a very safe doctor in terms of very few people have anything negative to say about his run. He's generally the favorite run for the majority of kind of the mass who folks, right? Jessica Jones is already on Disney Plus, which means David Tennant's already on Disney Plus. So there's going to be folks that are coming into Disney Plus and coming into seeing Doctor Who on there with David Tennant as kind of this figure that people have already known as the Doctor. It in a way, this is a reboot of Doctor Who. And the timing is perfect for the series because Disney Plus, you're going to get it. You're going to get like 3-4 episodes with David Tennant, and then you're going to go right into Shooty's run. And that's going to bring in all of these different, people that are just getting into Doctor Who into that. And I think it's the timing is perfect. I think if there's anybody that can muscle the BBC into doing content the right way, it's Disney. I don't think they're going to sit idly by and say, we're fine with one video dropping. You know, they're not going to be the kind of folks that let BBC drop, insane, weird stretches of video. They're going to, with their money, they're going to demand it. And with that said, I think they're going to eventually get they're going to see how popular it is. They're going to they're essentially waiting for the contract to run out over at HBO with all the mess that's happening over there. So I could see Jodie's tenure hopping onto Disney Plus soon after that, maybe within a year or so. And then you sign with BritBox and you get a lot of those older episodes. I think you will eventually get the majority of at least modern Who on Disney. And again, I think it's just going to be awesome.
Are there details? Sorry, Marcus. Are there details if it's day and date?
They didn't say if it's day and date.
The thing. Yeah. I mean, and this is the thing. It's obviously very nebulous right now. So they had this deal with HBO Max and with AMC took over the running of BBC America. I don't think it's leaving BBC America.
It's not.
I think the live first run will still be on BBC America and AMC Plus. Mm-hmm. I think that, as we've all agreed, as soon as that HBO Max deal runs out, all that content will shuttle over. So they will have everything from Eccleston on. The interesting one is BritBox, because BritBox is owned by BBC and ITV and nobody else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the BBC has the power to turn around and say, all right, we're pulling all this stuff. And we're going to offer that to you as well. The other thing is Torchwood, Sarah Jane, both on HBO Max right now, they would scoot over. As far as I'm concerned, it would make sense for them to scoot over when the deal runs out to Disney. And all of a sudden you've got this huge, vast swath of it. But the other thing I will say is, well, the BBC is overseeing Doctor Who and Russell T. Davis, and it's a BBC project. It's done by Bad Wolf Studios now. Mm-hmm. Bad Wolf Studios are in charge of production. Yeah. BBC is going to have final say in a lot of stuff, but the whole Whoverse is back in the hands of somebody who loves it. And I'm not talking about Chris Chibnall love it. Oh, look at me. I'm off to make my Reddit fan fiction porn. We are talking about somebody who makes smart, challenging TV. You can look at anything and everything Russell T. Davis has done. Yes, I mean, as Doctor Who, some of his, when he ran the first time around, there was in uneven episodes. You get that all the time. But we're looking at less episodes now. We're looking at a higher production quality. We're looking at a higher production budget, because it's done externally and it's now being, there's the Disney Plus deal globally to pump more money into it. So I can see.
Oh, okay. Ready? Doctor Who is moving from BBC America to Disney Plus. So
where's that?
That's the news. It's no longer going to be on BBC America. Link. It will be exclusively. IndieWire has it.
Give us a link. Drop us a link in the chat.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. There's ads popping up everywhere.
God, you're so slow.
If that's the case, then there you go. Yeah, I just sent you guys the link. For one of the links, there you go. Is Disney Plus exclusive in the U.S.? That's CNET is posting it. It's moving from BBC. So there you go.
That is a game changer because that's basically going to kill BBC America.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that was. Yeah, you can watch reruns of Star Trek, and that's essentially it.
And it's the great Graham Norton show, and that's about and Top Gear. So, yeah, that's BBC America.
There's no longer a wait. That's no longer a wait. It's debuting. It's premiering. Probably, I'd say the same time that it shows up on BBC, it will show up in the US because Disney doesn't like to be behind a lot of these things.
Well, no, they won't. They will have to drop it time and date. Disney, yep. I'm sure, will be insisting on that, which means we will get it early in the morning. Or maybe like 10 minutes behind. But they don't, they're masters of that. And also with that Disney deal, it also opens it up to more cinematic presentations. Better marketing across the board, better merchandise.
Did you imagine D23 with Doctor Who and
people? Keep it up, my Who. No.
I mean, it's again, it's not a Disney. This isn't a Disney owned franchise. This is a distribution contract. But it there is. Will be,
I think we'll see a version of it come back. We will see this Who universe expand again after after its flux like contraction and shrinking. You know, much like certain other things shrink
in the cold.
They're going to expand in the warmth of the Disney sun. But yeah,
I'm excited.
That's very, very exciting. I feel sorry for BBC America, but as soon as the BBC were forced to partner up with AMC and basically turn the license over, the writing was on the wall, and that is all down to the Tory government.
I do feel part of this Disney. So there's still going to be details of this that are coming out, and I think both of you guys have mentioned it, expanding the Hooniverse beyond this. Disney paid a lot of money to get Doctor Who.
Did they know?
Well, I'm going to say
we don't know how much they paid.
We don't know how much they paid, but I'm going to guess that I'm going to take an educated guess that with this push to get Doctor Who exclusively on there, obviously BBC is losing advertising rights or losing a lot of other things. Disney's has to have noted, hey, we're going to want more things than just Doctor Who. Like, we want a Doctor Who cartoon. We want necessarily.
No.
Think of like Doctor Who cartoon
American,
for kids.
American, plug it. No, plug it. Doctor Who is for kids.
Behind Lower Decks to write some Doctor Who.
With all the classic doctors,
some spin-off characters. Maybe animated.
Why don't we have a Doctor Who Funko cartoon? How about that?
If it's well written, put it on my TV.
Put it on my TV. I'm getting Doctor Who back into shape for an actual TV show, because otherwise everything else is just going to fall by the wayside.
It's definitely going to start with Doctor Who as a TV show proper. But I do think there'll be more. I think Disney is probably going to be asking for more of that, which I'm okay with it, depending on what it is. But
as long as there is money stamped up for it. And that's the thing. The BBC hasn't had any ad revenue out of BBC America. It's all been a licensing deal where AMC, like I said, has run BBC America. I will say AMC Plus is a great app. They've got some quality stuff on there, like Interview with a Vampire. What I will say, Sean, is that there are actually deals out there for AMC Plus. I don't know if you're going through Roku or Apple TV or whatever. We run it through Apple TV, and they've had some great deals over the months. And you know, it also includes IFC, Shudder, obviously BBC America, and regular AMC stuff. So there's a lot of, if you like horror movies, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of crap on there as well. But for example, if you want some of the kooky Nicolas Cage stuff, the movies he's done, they're all on there via Shudder and IFC. Portlandia and Documentary Now and all these other shows are on there as well. And Graham Norton, and if you like that. I mean, and they're all skews of docs. It's all uncensored. So anything they have from the UK or outside the rest of the world, if it goes onto AMC TV channel, it's censored. If it's on the AMC Plus app, it's uncensored. So it's lots of swearing and nudity and violence and all the fun stuff a growing child needs in America in 2022. So I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm sorry, I'm mourning the loss of BBC America. I think that means BritBox will probably not be not too far behind, which sucks. Or maybe BBC America will just vanish. That licensing deal with AMC will vanish. And they will just stick all their stuff on BritBox because they actually have a BritBox Live now, a section of that particular app. And then they'll just continue to get all the British stuff on there. Probably pull their stuff from PBS because that will, you know, help justify things. And then Doctor Who goes Disney Plus. Great. Just don't Disney-fy it. I really hope that deal says that Disney cannot interfere in any way, shape, or form.
Correct.
Because if that fucking mouse interferes, I live near Burbank.
Yeah, drive right over there.
I will go there and I will stand and
get off my Doctor Who TARDIS lawn. But exactly. There's a lot happening over the next year. I mean, we went from zero news to suddenly a tsunami, an avalanche, an earthquake, every natural disaster of news, a supernova of news in the Doctor Who universe. That's very exciting. Which means you're going to be hearing from us a lot more. We haven't had a chance to record a lot of episodes outside of Who. We are definitely planning on doing it. We've just been swamped.
Unless they just write us out like Dan.
They're going to write us out like Dan. Goodbye. There's plenty of other shows we're still going to be talking about because there's a lot of great TV out there that I want to get into that we've been talking about getting into and talking about. But we'll get into that. But as far as Doctor Who goes, one last thing that I wanted to share, and that was Sean, you're going to love this. Ooh. Marcus went on a vacation.
Oh.
He went on a vacation someplace pretty cool, someplace that I've never been. I'm hoping to go one day. And that is Marcus went to you're in the way again, Sean. Sit down.
Stare into my eyes.
Marcus took a trip to the British Isles and got to see some cool. So cool. Tell us what we're looking at here, Marcus.
So, yeah, obviously I went, I was back in the UK, back in Wales to see the family. And obviously every time I go looking for Doctor Who memorabilia, and I stumbled on a little shop that had a whole bunch of stuff I hadn't seen. For example, these nesting dolls. So that's one of them. So I took several pictures. The Sonic Spork you can see on the bottom there. I actually got that from Loot Crate. That was a Loot Crate special, and somebody's obviously resold that, so I wasn't going to pay £5 for that. But the nesting thing, the notepads, if you can cycle through to the next one, please, Dali. Obviously, that's a great Matt for Matt Smith, but that's £300. No chance I'm not going to pay that. But again, they had lots of cool little bits and bobs.
By the way, Matt Smith is absolutely killing it in the House of the Dragon. He is probably stealing that show right now. He's a great character, Damon Targaryen. Continue, 100%. Sorry.
That show bores me stupid. I mean, he's great. if you go to the next one, I mean, again, we're looking at all these little Daleks, and they're all quite tiny, and I just literally didn't have enough space to actually go and buy this stuff. Which was kind of disappointing. But
imagine trying to get all this back into a suitcase. Someone's going to think you're smuggling Daleks into the
Where
US.
Where was this, Marcus?
This was the beginning of August, end of July, beginning of August. I was in the UK for 3 weeks.
But was this, which store was this?
This was, I can't remember the name of the store, but it's in Cardiff.
My favorite Doctor Who character is Luigi. Right in the
back. Well, I mean, it's a pop culture store. I mean, there's lots.
It reminds
lots and
me
lots
of the
of
one
stuff.
In London
yeah.
a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I always joke with Val that there's so much good stuff there that I want to bring a suitcase that's empty.
Mm.
But this is all old stuff. This isn't new stuff.
I know.
And that's the thing. They stopped making this stuff because there was no interest. I mean, there's, you know, a TARDIS
hand sanitizer. Oh, my Lord. That's wonderful.
I'm interested. Go back and get it.
So this is the interesting one. One, I was tempted to get. Honestly, I was tempted to get this one. We got Sarah Jane lying on her back.
Oh no!
She got knocked over. But then it's the robot, the robot from the classic John Pertwee episode, which is the first episode I ever saw. And I looked at this, and I'm like, "Shall I get it? Shall I get it?" And I asked them how much, and they wanted £100 for it.
Hmm.
And I'm like, It's not even boxed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was a that was unfortunately a big no-no. So that was the coolest thing I saw. I do feel kind of, you know, should I have gone back and bought it or not? But that was the one thing it would have been nice to catch. And I think there's one more picture. Yeah, and it just goes to show the Tardis milk jug, the various mugs, and of which, you know, I've got the Tardis so shot cool. glasses. Yeah, there's lots of fun little stuff there that they had there, but it was vastly overpriced, unfortunately. And even with the dollar being close to the pound right now,
a cool money.
You know, it's tough. You know, it was tough to resist. But, and if we can go back to our full screen selves, I will say that I did secure...
Oh, there it is, the Hallmark.
So this actually is the 10th, or is it the 14th?
Oh, we don't know. Yeah.
Because I also got a second one. This one's for Dally. This one's for Sean. These will be arriving in your at home before to you guys before Christmas.
I was just about to look up where to buy it.
Yeah,
I was
Googling. You know, the 2022 keepsakes.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's amazing.
Thanks. They're on there. They will be on their way to you very soon. So you can put them on your Christmas tree.
That's so cool.
Oh, you're gonna make me cry. Thank God I'm off camera.
Yeah, thank you.
So actually, the only nerd thing I bought, which was actually quite amusing, I actually bought this, which is Star Wars.
Oh.
And it's the three wise stormtroopers: see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and they're actually really great little stormtroopers. But yeah, I saw that and I thought, you know, that's what I was going to get. But yeah, I will send you your keepsakes very soon.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you so much. And that's very thoughtful. Very, very thoughtful.
And thank you for corralling us to do another episode. It was awesome to talk Doctor Who, to bask and bathe in the glory that is both you wonderful gents, Marcus and the Marcus and Sean. It was great to hang out with the both of you. Sean, you're looking really fit. What do you mean you're not on camera? You're not feeling well, Sean? You look great. You lost some weight. Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's proper skinny. I've never seen it from the outside before.
Dudes, it has been awesome chatting with you guys.
Next time I'll have to show you guys for my birthday. One of my gifts was Val got me a TARDIS cookie jar. And the thing was massive and ceramic. Oh, nice. It's so cool.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
I had a Doctor Who TARDIS mug that I'd bought a long time ago and it shattered. So I have to buy a new one.
Oh no.
Do you have the temperature changing one?
No, I didn't. No. This was a square. Cool. This was a square mug.
Oh, shaped like the TARDIS.
It's actually shipped with the TARDIS. Yeah. Oh. So I've got to pick another one of those up. But that's cool.
You'll one of my favorite mugs I still have is the temperature. It's the TARDIS goes off from one side to the other. So from the streets to space. It's really cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
God, I love gentlemen. The show. I'm so excited to be, or rather, I'm so, it's just nice to be excited about Doctor
Who. It's just nice.
And the wait for November is going to be agonizing. I'm going to have to fill my plate with more Star Wars and Doctor Who. Not Star Wars. Oh, God. Marvel and Doctor Who.
Marvel.
No, damn it. Oh, my God. The cold medicine. Anyway, a lot of good content between
us. The cold medicine.
Yeah. gents.
That's what I get for trying to be nice and happy.
Yeah. Gents, thank you again. Any place you want people to look you up to find you?
You can look, obviously I'm on Twitter. You can look me up, Annoyed Gamer. And I've just started doing a new video podcast every Sunday afternoon with my old colleague, Ray Padilla.
Cool.
Who's an OG games journalist. And we're just talking and shooting the shit about various things. We haven't even got a name for this thing yet. We've only done one episode, but we're going to talk about games. We're going to talk about TV, cinema. Almost the first one we did was actually last Sunday. And we talked about Black Adam.
Oh boy.
So I didn't talk about Doctor Who, obviously, because that's your domain of this particular show. but you can, if you look me up on the Twitters, you'll find all that information. And who knows, maybe you can suggest a name for the show.
Nice, nice, nice. Sean, any place where we can find you?
Yeah, occasionally.
In your sick bed?
Please don't. occasionally on Twitter, at Sean Norton, but not as much on the socials these days.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more of a lurker than a tweeter or a TikToker or anything. But yeah, always around if people want to give me a shout. Always down to talk about Doctor Who and
all. We got to do some TikToks.
Every wibble wobble.
Doc in a box, baby.
Doc in a box. Doc in a box. TikTok.
It's my doc in a box.
That's gonna be our. We'll definitely have to do like a Christmas, a video right Christmas there. Card. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can find me at Dolly Demosky. You can find us at Lonely TARDIS, LonelyTARDIS.com, Lonely TARDIS on YouTube and on Facebook and the tweeters and all over the place. And that's it. It's been a true joy chatting with everybody, talking Doctor Who, and I look forward to chatting with you wonderful gents and hearing from our community in the coming days, weeks, months of the Doctor Who.
Oh, come on. We'll be on the 16th regeneration by the time you finish.
Yeah, exactly. Take care, everybody. We'll see you in the next episode of The Lonely TARDIS. Bye.